Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the series of the classes of the diseases of the heart. And the disease of the heart, which we will start to learn about today, is one of the worst diseases of the heart, which is envy, and in Arabic it is called hasad. Inshallah, in these classes, we will learn the following, the definition of the word envy and its levels in Islam. Envy is the illness of the nations that came before us. Envy is mentioned in the Quran. Envy in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Envy is forbidden in Islam. Causes of envy, the evil effects of envy, cure of envy, the evil eye in the Quran and the hadith, the cure of the evil eye and envy in details. At the beginning, sisters, we must realize that envy is hating that good happens to others. It is one of the diseases of the heart, and it is a major sin, which is bound to destroy good deeds as fast as the fire burns the wood and dry grass to ashes. Envy is the displeasure with Allah's decree and his granting blessings upon others. Faith and envy don't go together in the heart of a servant, because in Islam, no one attains true belief until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Envy leads to hatred. The envier is the true loser in this world and in the hereafter, as envy is the shearer of the religion. Muslims are commanded to seek refuge from the envier in the Holy Quran. We will start, inshallah, by learning the definition of envy and its level. Definition of envy in Islam: envy, hasad, is the desire to have the blessings removed from the one who is envied. That is to say, the dislike to see a person receiving a bounty and wishing that he or she, the recipient, would lose it. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of envy is that if I am the envier or the one who has envy in my heart, this means that I have the desire that the car which Melissa just bought last month, that Melissa will lose the car. This is the desire in my heart. When you tell me, Sister Mona, why you look upset? Do you have any problem in your family? I tell you no. Are you sick? No. Do you have any trouble financially? No. So you tell me, so Sister Mona, what is the problem? Why you look upset? I tell you, because I am very upset because Melissa bought a new car last month, and I have the desire that Allah will make her to lose that car. This is the envy. You see how it is a very bad feeling, because it is related to the desire that the people whom they are around you, okay, either your relatives or your friends or your neighbors, whatever blessings Allah gave to them, you are desiring that Allah will make them to lose their desires. Okay, so it is related to the hatred, and it is related to the, you know, like that the people will lose, you know, the blessings of Allah. Actually, as I am clarifying, that what is bad related to envy is the wishing that a human being, okay, would lose the blessings of Allah. Okay, because this is a bad feeling to have the desire that my neighbor will lose her car, my friend will lose her husband, my my relative will lose her kid. You know, this is the desire that others will lose. You know, this is the clarification that this is a bad illness and this is a disease of the heart. Because normally we always desire that we like to have, you know, good things in our life. But to desire that others, whom they are always in the close circle of our life, to lose, you know, their blessings, this means that, you know, I have a disease in my heart. Okay, so this is level number one. The second level regarding envy is the desire to have the blessings to be taken away from the envied person in the hope that it will come to him. For example, I have the desire that the car of Melissa, okay, that Melissa will lose her car, hoping that Allah will give it to me. Okay, I am looking that so-and-so sister will lose her husband, hoping that he will marry me. Okay, so it is still the desire that, you know, a human being whom he is in the close circle, okay, will lose a blessings, and you will get it, in spite of him. Still, this is a very bad feeling. The third level of envy is the desire for yourself a blessing like which someone the envied had. But if you cannot have the similar blessing, you will have the desire that the blessing will be removed from the envied one. What is the meaning of this? Now, for example, Melissa just bought a new car, so I will have the desire that, oh Allah, give me a new car like Melissa. But oh Allah, if you will not give me the new car, let Melissa lose her car. It is the same, the desire that the other person will lose the blessing if I don't have a similar one. Okay? So envy is around the desire of the people to lose their blessings. Okay? And this is why it is a very bad disease of the heart. Okay? And I will clarify to you now that envy is based on selfishness. Okay, and the desire to have all the good only for oneself. I want to have the best husband, and I want to have the best car, the best education, the best kids, the best house, the best health. All the best in this life must be for Mona. But if Melissa will buy a good car better than my car, no, I can't tolerate it. And because I can't tolerate it, I will have the desire that Melissa will lose that car, so that I will not be upset, okay, regarding her car. Because I always believe that all the good in this life must be for Mona. This is, you know, what is behind the envy in the spirit of those people. The envier will feel pain and grief and will desire the deprivation of that blessing, as he always believes that he is the only one who deserves all the blessings. So the envier is always upset, frustrated, sad and worried. Hatred is a consequence of these feelings. This is very important thing. Now, for example, Melissa is my neighbor and she bought a new car. Okay, so I start to feel that, you know, I have the desire that Melissa will lose that car. Because whenever I see Melissa having the car, I feel very upset and frustrated. This car must be mine, but Melissa have it. So, oh Allah, let Melissa lose the car. If I cannot have my desire a reality through my feelings, I will try to have it through my actions. Okay, so I will call someone to come to cause trouble for Melissa's car. I will call, you know, I will ask my kids to try to throw stones on Melissa's car. Okay, yes, because I am full of hatred now.
That happened to me.
It happened to you?
Yeah.
Dear sisters, we must realize that envy is forbidden in Islam. As envy leads to hatred, suspicion, evil thinking about others' intentions, backbiting, spreading rumors, lying, turning back on each other, it may also lead the envious person to inflict physical damage with the envied person and even murder. It is a bad seed for a terrible tree of diseases. For this reason, the scholars considered it from among the most dangerous, destructive, inner diseases and the most destructive for the faith. The Islamic ruling of envy is forbidden, is haram, prohibited. So envy is prohibited in Islam. The degree of prohibition differs depending on the sins that result from it. Okay, so it is according to the sin which result from the envy, it will be prohibited. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't envy on another and don't hate one another and don't turn your back to one another in discontent and be servants of Allah like brothers. So it is clear that there is a command from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are not supposed to envy each other. Accordingly, it is clear that envy is forbidden in Islam and is considered as a sin. Okay? Actually, we must realize that envy was in the people before us. It is not only in the Muslims, it is in all the people. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three sins which no one can be saved from: envy, suspicion, and omnis. Okay? So, and I will clarify omnis. Okay? So, inshallah, I will clarify to you, sisters, about, you know, the meaning of this hadith in details, okay, next class. But just I want you to know that there are three sins which no one can be saved: envy, suspicion, and omnis. Okay? Omnis is expecting the worst to happen. So this is number one regarding envy, that, you know, according to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, no one can be saved from it. But we will learn, inshallah, how he taught us how to save ourselves from it. But basically, it is there in the spirit of everyone of us, in the spirit of all the human being, part of the worldly test. To have this envy, what is the meaning of envy? Is that you want the good things all for you. Okay? Not the desire to harm others. Okay? Just to love, to have all the good. Okay? For you. And to feel jealous when others are having, you know, blessings more than you. But to harm, okay, this is different. Okay? But you notice this. You know, you notice that this is the nature of the human beings. And I will tell you, inshallah, stories about this in details. The second hadith regarding to the fact that envy was in the people before us, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have been afflicted with the illness of the nations that came before you, envy and hatred. They are the shearers, I don't mean the shearers of the hair, rather they are the shearers of the religion. Okay, the shearers, yes. My sisters, envy leads the desire to destroy others, okay? And actually, we will learn about, okay, from the two stories from the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about, that envy can lead to murder and can lead to that the brothers will plot against each other. Number one, we will learn the story. It is related to that the first blood-letting crime on the face of the earth was the killing of the son of the Prophet Adam, his son Habil. He was killed or murdered on the hands of his brother Qabil. Okay, I will mention to you this story in details now. A fact which proves the destructive effect of envy. Even the son of the Prophet cannot escape that destructive effect. Now we will read from Surah number 5, from verse 27 to verse 31, so that we can realize how envy can destroy the relations between the brothers and even to the degree of murdering each other. Surah number 5, verses from 27 to 31. When I Melissa was there, I say Melissa will read, then Daniel will read, then you come to read. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recite to them the story of the sons of Adam, Habil and Kabil, Abel and Cain, in truth, when each offered a sacrifice accepted from the one but not from the other. The latter said to the former, I will surely kill you. The former said, Verily, Allah accepts only from those who are al-Muttaqun. If you do stretch your hands against me to kill me, I shall never stretch my hands against you to kill you, for I fear Allah, the Lord of the Alameen. Verily, I intend to let you draw my sin on yourself as well as yours. Then you will be one of the dwellers of the fire, and that is the recompense of the Zalimun. So the nafs of the other encouraged him and made fair-seeming to him the murder of his brother. He murdered him and became one of the losers. Then Allah sent a crow who scratched the ground to show him to hide the dead body of his brother. He said, Woe to me! Am I not even able to see as this crow and to hide the dead body of my brother? Then he became one of those who regretted.
Okay, sister, I will mention to you the meaning of these verses of the Quran, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Okay, Prophet Adam, the first created human being, and his wife Hawa were allowed by Allah to marry his daughters to his sons because of the necessity of such action. Because there were no human beings on the earth except Prophet Adam and his wife. So in order to increase the number of the human beings, the only way was that his sons will marry his daughters. Okay, in every pregnancy, Prophet Adam was given a twin, a male and a female. And he used to give the female of one twin to the male of the other twin in marriage. Okay? Once Prophet Adam has two sons. Okay? Let us read to the book. It will be more. He has two sons, Habil, the elder, and his sister, twin sister, was beautiful. And he has Habil, the younger son, his twin sister was not beautiful. Okay? So, Habil said to his brother, okay, marry your sister to me, the beautiful one, because this is the right rules in the family, okay, that the son will marry the daughter from, the other twin. Okay, so Habil asked Qabil to give him his sister in marriage. Okay, Qabil refused. And he told him, no, I will not give you my sister, I will marry my sister. Okay, because my sister is beautiful. Qabil doesn't agree, to follow the rules in the family and to marry Habil's sister because she was not beautiful. Okay, so this is number one transgression of Qabil, okay, regarding the rights of Habil. Okay, this is number one. So, Prophet Adam, they complained to their father, Prophet Adam. Prophet Adam decided that they both must offer a sacrifice. And he whose sacrifice was accepted would marry the beautiful sister. Okay? So they both, okay, offered a sacrifice. Okay? Habil offered a good sacrifice. Okay, and Qabil doesn't offer a good sacrifice. And the result was that the sacrifice of Habil was accepted. Okay, and this means that Habil will be the one to marry the beautiful sister. At that point, Qabil was very jealous from Habil because Allah accepted his sacrifice and he will be the one to marry the beautiful sister, so immediately he told him, I will kill you. Okay? So out of envy and segregation, Habil decided to kill his brother. Habil clarified that Allah accepts the sacrifice only from the pious. This is verse number 27. So we will read again verse number 27. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Habil said, the one whom Allah accepted his sacrifice, verily Allah accepts only from those whom are the pious. Okay? Again, Habil, the pious, tried to remind his brother regarding the sin of killing him without justification. Because there is no reason, for the Qabil, to kill his brother. So his brother was trying, you know, to remind him that, you know, why you are killing me without any justification. So he told him, if you stretch your hand against me to kill me, I shall never stretch my hand against you to kill you, for I fear Allah. He was trying, you know, to remind him that he must fear Allah, and also he will not commit the same evil act that Qabil threatened to commit it. Okay? Because he fears Allah. Habib the pious again was trying all the means to save his brother from this great crime. So he mentioned to him that all his sins will be drawn on him, on his brother, and also his brother's sins, so he will be one of the dwellers of the fire. Actually, sister, they are two brothers. One of them is a tough person. He is a transgressor. He has envy in his heart. And the other one is a bias. The bias one realized that so long Qabil, the transgressor, intended to kill him, he will kill him. So he was trying by all the means in these verses of the Quran to remind him regarding the sin of murdering, regarding Allah, regarding the hellfire, okay, so that maybe there is a possibility that he will change his decision. Okay, he was trying to save himself from being murdered by his brother, and he was also trying to save his brother. So he mentioned to his brother, verily I intend to let you draw my sin on yourself as well as yours. Then you will be one of the dwellers of the fire. Okay, all of these words are a reminder to the transgressor that don't follow your feelings of envy, because you will be questioned about my sins and your sins in the day of resurrection, and you will be in the hellfire 100% because you will have my sins and your sins. You know, all of these trials were actually in order to stop this great crime. Okay, but again, you know, sisters, it is the envy which always blind the sight, okay, and look away mercy from the heart. This is the issue, actually, sister, regarding the envy. And this is what we will learn regarding how to actually protect ourselves from this feeling. Not to have the feeling and then to try to escape the consequences of that feeling. No, we must, as it is clear here, that whenever someone intends to revenge, to murder, to kill, to destroy, and he has envy in his heart, nothing will stop him, even after all these reminders and after being the son of a prophet. So what was the next? So his self, the self of Qabil, the transgressor, the envier, encouraged him and made fair seeming to him to murder his brother. He murdered him and became one of the losers. Actually, Qabil took a stone and threw it at his brother's head and smashed his head and killed him. Okay? When Habil died, Qabil didn't know how to bury him. Why, sisters? Because he was the first human being to die on the earth. The first one to die on the earth was Habil. Okay, so his brother doesn't know what to do with his body. Allah the Most Merciful, the All-Knower, sent two crows, which fought with each other. You see, sisters, again and again, when you, you know, realize the depth of the meaning of the Quran, you know, now Habil is dead and his body is thrown on the earth. Okay? Allah the Almighty, who knows everything, will not leave the body of this pious person, okay, thrown on the earth. So Allah sent two crowds and Allah made them to fight with each other, so that one of them will kill the other. Okay? All of this is happening in front of Qabil the transgressor. So when he saw that one of them killed the other, then he, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then he dug a hole and threw sand over the dead body. Okay, Qabil said woe to me, I am not even able to be at this crow and to hide the dead body of my brother. Then he became one of those who regretted. Okay? So again, sister, you know, when you try to realize the message of this story, it is that this is two sons of a prophet. One of them murdered the other one or killed the other one out of envy. You know, this is the proof that envy can lead to crimes which you never imagine. And because of this, when we realize this fact, sisters, you know, you will have two steps. Number one, I don't want to have any envy in my heart towards any human being as I can, and I must focus on this disease of the heart. I must remind myself every day in the morning and at night. Mona, remember, no envy. Because if you start to have the feeling, you don't know the consequences. And you will not be able to control Satan, who will try to push you to do whatever you can't imagine. So, all the time, remember, Mona, no envy. And before you sleep, after you leave the whole day, and maybe, you know, still Satan is controlling, you know, your feelings, again you remind yourself before you sleep, there is any envy in your heart, try to forget it, get it out, the consequences will be very severe, you may do something which you never expect, and remember the two sons of Prophet Adam, whom one of them murdered the other out of envy. This is number one. Number two, sisters, try not to stimulate others to have envy towards you. Okay? Because you will not be able to control their feelings. Okay? Don't stimulate the people and then complain they are envious towards me. Because you stimulate them. Okay? So this is what we learn from this story. And actually regarding Qabil species. Qabil the killer, okay, why he had the great loss in the hereafter, especially. He had a very special situation. That person, Qabil, the son of Prophet Adam, the first killer, or the first killer on the earth, okay. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any soul that is unjustly killed, then the son of Adam will carry a burden of its shedding, for he was the first to practice the crime of murder. What is the meaning of this hadith, sister? The meaning of this hadith is that Qabil, the son of Adam, who killed his brother, will be the most miserable among men on the day of judgment. Why? Because there is no blood shed on the earth since he killed his brother until the day of judgment, but he will carry a burden from it. For he was the first person to establish murder. You see, sisters?
He carries the burden of all humankind.
All human beings. Since Prophet Adam, since he killed his brother, until the day of judgment, whoever is murdered on the earth, Qabil will have, carry a burden from that murder. Why?
Ask for forgiveness from Allah.
It is not written. You know why? I will tell you about this. But why he will carry a burden? Because he was the first person to establish murder. You know, this is one of the rules of Islam. Whoever is calling people for the good, he will have, you know, he will have a reward similar to them. For example, when I tell you, sister, let us come to the masjid, let us learn Islam, and alhamdulillah, you come to the masjid and you learn, I will have the reward equal to all of you. And this will not decrease the reward of any of you. Okay? This is why we have to call for the good. And it is also the same for the opposite. If I call you and tell you, sister, someone call and tell you, sister, forget about the class today. Let us have, you know, a meeting in the park and enjoy time. That sister will have the punishment equal to all the sisters whom they prefer the park than the meeting of Allah. She will have the burden of all of them because she called, you know, for something which is wrong. This is the rule of Islam. And this is actually the mercy of Islam because this rule is always stimulating you to call for the good. You know, all the time, when you notice that people are confused, you try, you know, to call them for the good. Why? Because, inshallah, I will be rewarded equal to all of them. And suppose now I call you for the good. Then you go and tell to Venice, and Venice call others. Until the day of judgment, I will have the reward of all these sisters. You see, this is the issue. Yes, this is, you know, how Islam is the religion of mercy regarding calling people for the good. You see, and because of that, you always try to call the people for the good. Every text message you are sending for all the sisters, and they are coming because you remind them you will be rewarded for them. If the sister will tell her daughter, you will be rewarded for the same, you know. You will be rewarded. Inshallah, I am rewarded. Whoever is calling is rewarded. You see, this is the mercy of Islam. And it is also the same for those whom they try to send the people astray, whom they establish, you know, the wrong issues. Okay, Allah will make them to carry the burden for all those whom they follow them. Okay, so regarding Qabil, actually, in this life, Prophet Muhammad said also, now this is regarding, you know, the Day of Judgment, but in this life, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no sin that is more worthy of Allah hastening its punishment in this life in addition to what He has in store for each offender in the hereafter, more than transgression and cutting the relations of the womb. Because Qabil murdered his brother. You know, he didn't murder a foreign person. He murdered his brother, so he will also have, you know, a punishment in this worldly life. Because according to this hadith, okay, the sin which Allah will make the sinner to receive his punishment in this life and in the hereafter is one of two, the transgressor, okay, and the one who cut the relation of the womb. This hadith, you know, is actually a reminder that never to transgress, never to cut the relation of the womb. Why? Because you will have a lot of punishment in the store on the Day of Judgment, but also you will be punished very quickly in the worldly life. Okay, so this is actually, when we learn this hadith, sisters, you feel the mercy of Islam. Because all the time, Allah is reminding us, Allah is teaching us, Allah is informing us to have the good manners, to have the good hearts, to be away from the diseases of the hearts, to try to have peace, tranquility, love for everyone. Otherwise, you will be a transgressor, and you will have hatred, and you will have envy, and you will lose your good deeds in this life and in the hereafter. Actually, the second story related to envy in the Quran is related again to the prophets. You see, this is how you can realize that we must focus on this disease of the heart, because even the prophets and their sons, they suffer from the disease of envy. This is the story is related to Prophet Yusuf,
the brothers envy him.
Yes, who was tried the envy by his brothers when they said, truly Joseph and his brother are loved more by our father than we. So they were envied due to their father favoring them over the rest of the brothers. Actually, Prophet Jacob, okay, he had 11 brothers, okay, and he had another two. Prophet Yusuf and his brother Benjamin. Prophet Yusuf and his brother Benjamin were from a different mother, okay, and they were young, okay, by comparison to the other 11 old brothers. Those older brothers, okay, they feel envy towards Prophet Yusuf and his brother Benjamin, because they feel that their father, Prophet Jacob, he favored the two small, more than them. But this is normal, because they are young, you know. But still, this is the envy in the hearts, which you cannot get it, you know, out of the hearts. Shaitan, the open enemy to man, deceived those brothers, the 11 ones. So they went on to oppress Yusuf by discussing his murder. It is again the murder, you see. discussing his murder and throwing him in the well. Again, it is the envy which allowed Shaitan to control the spirit of the envious brothers, even if they were the sons of Prophet Jacob. We will read now about this whole story from Prophet Yusuf Surah number 12. We will read from verse 4 to verse 18. And actually the story is very clear in the Holy Quran, inshallah. We will learn it so that inshallah we will always remember the envy. We will read from verse 4 to verse 18.
Remember when Yusuf said to his father, O my father, verily I saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrating themselves to me. He said, O my son, relate not your vision to your brothers, lest they should arrange a plot against you. Verily, Shaitan is to man an open enemy. Thus will your Lord choose you and teach you the interpretation of dreams and perfect his faith in you and on the offspring of Jacob, Yaqub, as he perfected it on your fathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq or Isaac, aforetime. Verily, your Lord is all-knowing, all-wise. Verily, in Yusuf and his brethren, there were ayat, evidences for those who ask. When they said, truly Yusuf and his brother Benjamin are dearer to our father than we, while we are a strong group, really our father is in a plain error. Kill Yusuf or cast him out to some other land, so that the favor of your father may be given to you alone, and after that you will be righteous folk. One from among them said, kill not Yusuf, but if you must do something, throw him down to the bottom of a well. He will be picked up by some caravan of travelers. They said, O our father, why do you not trust us with Yusuf, though we are indeed his well-wishers? Send him with us tomorrow to enjoy himself and play, and verily we will take care of him. He said, truly, it saddens me that you should take him away. I fear lest a wolf should devour him, while you are careless of him. They said, if a wolf devours him while we are a strong group to guard him, then surely we are the losers. So when they took him away and they all agreed to throw him down to the bottom of the well, they did so, and we revealed to him, indeed, you shall one day inform them of this their affair when they know you not. And they came to their father in the early part of the night weeping. They said, O our father, we went racing with one another and left Yusuf by our belongings, and a wolf devoured him. But you will never believe us even when we speak the truth. And they brought his shirt stained with false blood. He said, nay, but your own self have made up a tale. So fear me, patience is most fitting, and it is Allah alone whose help can be sought against that lie which you describe.
Thank you very much. Actually, sister, this is the story of Prophet Yusuf and his brothers, whom they have envy towards him, and they plan to kill him, and then they change their mind and they agreed to throw him in the well. But Allah, out of his mercy and knowledge, Allah saved him. Actually, their plot was related to deceiving their father by asking him to let Yusuf go with him to play outside, and they were planning that, you know, they will throw him in the well and return back to lie to their father that there was a wolf and the wolf eats Prophet Yusuf, and they brought his shirt stained with false blood. But their father actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but their father realized that they were lying. So how he knows that they were lying? Actually, in the tafsir, the meaning of these verses of the Quran, it was mentioned that they brought his shirt stained with false blood, but they forget to tear the shirt. You see? So how come you know, the wolf will eat him and the blood will be on the shirt while the shirt is still in its good shape. Actually, so this was the proof that they were lying. And actually, this is how Allah the Almighty supported the father to believe that his son is still alive. And because of that, he mentioned to them, I will have patience and may Allah help me regarding what you are describing. And he was all the time for years and years remembering Yusuf until Allah made him to meet him again. And again, sister, this is the stories of the sons of the prophets whom they didn't escape the enemy because Shaitan controlled their hearts. And these are two stories from the Quran which every one of us must remember regarding envy in the first class of envy. At the end, I will mention for you a very funny story regarding the envy between a wife and a husband. It is called Frog Magic Stool. Okay, a woman was out golfing one day. When she hit her ball into the woods, she went into the woods to look for it and found a frog in a trap. The frog said to her, if you release me from this trap, I will grant you 3 wishes. The woman freed the frog and the frog said, thank you, but I failed to mention that there was a condition to your wishes, that whatever you wish for, your husband will get 10 times more or better. The woman said, that would be okay. And for her first wish, she wanted to be the most beautiful woman in the world. The frog warned her, You do realize that this wish will make your husband the most handsome man in the world. The woman replied, that will be okay because I will be the most beautiful woman and he will only have eyes for me. So, she became the most beautiful woman in the world. For her second wish, she wanted to be the richest woman in the world. The frog said, that will make your husband the richest man in the world and he will be 10 times richer than you. The woman said, that will be okay because what is mine is his and what is his is mine. So she became the richest woman in the world. The frog then inquired about her third wish. The woman was very jealous and envied of her husband. And hence she answered,
maybe the third wish is she would like him dead.
Okay, do you have any point of view? Do you expect?
No,
yes. She was more intelligent. You know, she would like a mild heart attack. A mild heart attack for her.
So she had a mild heart attack.
He will die. And he will die. Okay. So she wants a mild heart attack. So you know, and she
was smart.
Yes, and I tell you now, she is the most beautiful woman, and she is the most rich woman. So let him die. You know, and a mild heart attack is not a big problem
for her.
Okay, for him, he would be
and his work. Rich, beautiful, and husband.
Yes, excellent. Okay, sister, so let us make the dua and continue about envy, inshallah, next week.
Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from the decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Inshallah, to continue.